Well, good evening, you guys. Good to see you. How's it going? Pardon my, I don't know what you call this.
Pardon.
Technical getting set up real quick. So this is on. Is that okay, Tim? Doing good. Sound check. 1, 2, 3. All right, good. All right, so what we'd like to talk about tonight, I'd like to talk to you guys for a little bit, is why do we worship God? So that why do we worship God specifically through singing, which is a really it's a great question and an important one. You know, through Scripture that worship is definitely important. I hope you can see that because God is worthy, and we have some quick reasons of why that comes to mind at first. But what about singing? Worshiping God through singing is actually a distinctly Christian thing to do. Did you know that not all religions do that? There are a lot of religions, they don't gather people together and do singing together. It's looking at all of history through thousands of years, all different religions, it's kind of a uniquely special thing that Christians do that not all people do. And what's cool is Christian singing worship is done in all different cultures, in all different people groups, all kinds of different music styles, backgrounds. You know, when you look through the pages of the Psalms and they talk about singing and worshiping God through song, they're using all sorts of instruments that some of them we've never even heard of before, different styles that are not exactly the styles that we'd be familiar with, but the principles are still there. So I want to start with just some wrong answers to this question. What are some wrong answers to why do we worship God in song? Does anyone want to venture a guess as to maybe a wrong answer to that question? Could be fun. I'll give you a few that I know of, but do you have a wrong answer for that? Yeah, go ahead. Just to sing? Okay, yeah, for no other reason that this is what we always do. Right? Is that what you mean by that? Yeah, just because we do. That's an excellent wrong answer to why we would sing. Yeah. Okay, to glorify ourselves. Interesting. To glorify ourselves is one way to put it. To make it all about us, in some way. To make us happy, maybe. Maybe that's not a good reason. What's another wrong answer? Yes, to show off to the person next to you. Sing louder than them. And to impress people. And, that can be kind of self-centered as well. I think one of the wrong answers I've heard before is maybe it's a fun way that churches try to attract people, try to get them to come to the church. You know, if we have really good music, then we're going to get people to come in those doors. And so we need to update our music and kind of get the right kind of music to get people to attend. I think that's a wrong answer. I don't think it's a biblically rooted answer. Another answer I've heard, I think is a wrong answer, is it's a good warm-up for the sermon. I started leading worship in church a long time ago, and I had a pastor who kind of told me that. He's like, "Oh, I just love it when you do songs, because then by the time we get to the sermon, people are like ready to pay attention." And he's like, and he just sort of saw it as the way that we kind of get everyone to stop doing other things and to get ready for his sermon. Giving people what they like, their favorite types of music. I've had people wonder, like, why don't we just all, like, vote on what kind of music to use? And, everyone can just say their favorite. I love Southern Gospel. I love polka, and we'll all just, like, decide what's the best worship music to use by vote, so that everyone can get something that they can relate to. And I think that's a wrong answer to this question. I think another wrong answer is some people might say, well, worshiping through song is just for some people. Some people like it. It's kind of their thing. But for me, it's not really my thing. It doesn't really resonate with me. Well, Scripture talks very directly about worshiping through song. So I want to look at two passages with you tonight that are going to help us understand what's the biblical way to think about this question. All right? So the first passage is in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's going to be verses 15 through 21. So if you need a Bible, you can just wave your hand around until a Bible shows up in it, okay? And the rest of you can turn to this, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. And every Bible passage has a context Every Bible passage has a context. I know this is the good stuff that you guys are learning here already. You've talked about soya. You've talked about, you know, understanding a text by looking around and seeing why it's there. So this one, I'll give you a little bit of background of this passage before we start reading it. It was written to a church. Okay, it's written to the believers who are gathered to worship God in Ephesus. Ephesus was a city, it was a town, township. I don't know what they called it. But in the place of Ephesus, there were gathering of believers, and this is written to them. Okay, so that's the first audience. These Ephesian believers were surrounded by a non-Christian culture. They were surrounded by a lot of evil practices, a lot of sexual immorality, a lot of just kind of really bad stuff going on in the culture around them. And so they had to guard themselves against evil and live according to God's word, right? You might feel like, hey, I can relate to that. You know, you're surrounded by a lot of immorality in the world, and you have to, you know, be called to live according to God's word. And specifically, chapter 5 starts off with this, be imitators of God, it says. Be an imitator of God. And that's not like a mimic of God, like, I know you are, but what am I? And, you know, back and forth, just mimic everything he says. Be an imitator of God means be like God is. Live your life, walk in love, act like Jesus does. Jesus lived selfishly. He gave himself for others, so we're supposed to do the same thing. So I think this part of this passage is under the heading of be imitators of God. And then the rest of the chapter is telling us, how do you do that? Okay? So let's go to this next slide and read this passage. And how about we just read it out loud? You guys want to read it with me? It's right there on the screen. Ready? Let's try it. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so we'll stop there for now. There is more to this passage, but this is kind of setting up the rest of it. So we have this warning. It kind of sets us up. It says, watch out how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Live as a wise person. Don't live like a fool, basically. It's saying, you live according to God's wisdom. Don't live according to foolishness. And, you know, I think that's why it has this, it's about to set up this contrast between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. Now, some people might think this is a comparison because they're similar. I think it's a contrast because they're opposites. What I mean by that is some people might think being filled with the Spirit means you'll act as a person who's kind of drunk. When this passage is saying to not be foolish, but to be wise, and when you're drunk with wine, how many know that that's not a person who's going to make wise choices? Right, you don't make more and more wise choices when you're drunk. When you're drunk, you kind of make decisions that kind of are foolish, and then it goes down from there. Because it's out of control. That's the issue. Somebody who's drunk, they're out of their own control. They're letting their guard down. It can kind of lead to doing more and more stupid things. So that's why it says, don't get drunk with wine, because that's out of control. That's in excess. And by the way, quick note on that, I don't think it only means wine. I don't think the Bible is teaching that if you're drunk with beer, it's okay. Just don't be drunk with wine. It's talking about being out of control. And I think that would include, you know, not being under the influence of drugs, you know, high, whatever word you want to, buzzed, under the influence. Those kind of things are foolishness, it's saying. Don't do that because it's being out of control. It's not wise. It's in excess, it's out of control. But instead, the comparison is be filled with the Spirit. So we need to understand what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit and what does it have to do with this comparison. So some people might think that being filled with the Spirit means that you're going to do out of control, wild, ecstatic experiences or behavior. Maybe you've seen some silly videos online of a church where everyone kind of acts in very strange ways, you know, and they'll say that this is being filled with the Spirit. When really this contrast here is it's calling us to be wise and not to be foolish. It's talking to us about being under control and not out of control. So under the control of the Spirit is really what the comparison is. Rather than out of control, submitting ourselves to being under control of the Spirit. So be wise, don't be foolish. It's really the opposite of being out of control. But in order to understand what that means, we need to understand if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? And I think to understand that, we have to realize and remind ourselves what the Holy Spirit is. He is not an it, he is a he. The Holy Spirit is a who, not from Whoville. He is a who, not a what, right? The Holy Spirit is not a power. It's not a magical potion that gives you superpowers so you can do whatever you want, right? The Holy Spirit is not an it that you harness in order to get to your greater divine purpose. He is a he. He actually thinks things. He has ideas. He knows everything about you that there is to be known. He is God. And I know you've had really solid teaching here about the Trinity. The Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus, the Son is God, but three distinct persons, right? But the Holy Spirit is God. And so if we're filled with the Spirit, what that means is we're being filled with, in a literal sense, being filled with God, being filled with Him in us, and His thoughts and His ideas and His plans and His authority are all things that we're submitted to. Okay, so it's not about being totally out of control like a drunken idiot, you know, just making dumb choices. It's about being submitted to His control because He is God and He has plans and He has all the wisdom that we need. And He always is perfectly united with the other persons of the Trinity. He is God. And so if He's filling your life, then your life will be acting according to His control. Okay? So when it says to be filled with the Spirit, it means to be filled with God by His spiritual presence, which will change who you are and how you live. If you're filled with God, then you aren't going to do what you want to do. You're not going to live selfishly. You're not going to make idols out of things. You don't think selfishly. You're focused on what God wants instead of what you want. This word here, to be filled with the Spirit, means to be continuously filled. It's not a one-time thing. Coming to Christ and becoming a believer is a one-time thing that happens, and it's for the rest of your life. But being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing thing, and it reminds me sort of like, as an illustration, you guys may not change the oil on your cars, but sometimes when I pour oil into my car, which burns oil way too much, so I put the funnel on the top and I just pour some oil in it and it fills up, and then I gotta wait for it to run down because it's thick. And then so I gotta keep filling it so that it keeps pouring in. But it leaks, you know, it's a funnel. So I keep filling it up and try to keep it filled to the brim, but I have to keep pouring it in for that to happen. And I think it's similar to the use of this, be continuously filled with the Spirit. We are leaky people, right? We will become more and more selfish if just left to our own devices. To be filled with the Spirit is to be continuously submitted to His work. And there are times in Scripture where you see Peter was filled with the Spirit and then he gave this incredible speech and God used him in a powerful way. When somebody is filled with the Spirit, they do bold things. They're empowered by God to do really awesome things. And this is what he's saying, be continuously filled, like filling up a funnel. So I'm getting to the singing part. This leads us to what happens if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens? What does He want to do? If He is a He and He has a purpose and He knows us and we're submitted to His control, what's going to happen next? Like if we're totally submitted to His control, what's He going to do with us? And that's where we get to the rest of this verse. This next slide says this. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So do you see what this is saying? If you are filled with the Spirit, and God fills you, and you're turned over to his control, and you're like, God, do whatever you want in my life, and you're totally submitted to him, it says, in part, what he will do with you is he will use you through song to bless the people around you. So think about that. This is what God wants to do. In other words, he wants to bless the people around you, and he wants to use you to do it. Okay, he could just bless people directly, but he wants to fill you with himself so that you can bless other people. And that way God's doing the work, but the people around you are built up. They're encouraged. They're strengthened in their faith. This phrase is really important, this sentence. The church builds up the church. Something you see again and again in Scripture is that God uses the gifts in the church to build up the church. Why don't you say that with me? The church builds up the church. 1, 2, 3. The church builds up the church. This is what God does in us. He uses all kinds of different people to build up the rest of the people in the church. So this gives some real purpose to singing. And you might wonder, how in the world is me singing going to build somebody up? Like, how is that going to build the church? Singing, when God's people, the church, get together and it's time to sing, there's a purpose there for God to build up the church by just the fact that you're participating. Because as you sing, other people hear it, they're influenced by your faith, and we're all sort of like building up each other, right? So if you had a piece of string to each other person in the room, and you had them all clumped up, and then each person had a string connected to every other person in the room, what would it look like? It'd be like a carpet, right? Of all these strings kind of knotted together. All of us are connected to each other in blessing everyone else. I don't know if that illustration works, but if all of us are looking to bless and build up everyone else, then it builds all that connection between us as the church builds up the church. And so it says here, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in song, which means that if we submit ourselves to God and it's time to sing, do you know what happens when you're filled with the Spirit? God's going to do what he wants to do. And what does he want to do? He wants to bless the people around you through your song. So what happens if you're submitted to God and it's time to sing? What do? You sing. You actually sing. Yeah. And people might say, well, what do you mean? What if I don't like singing? It doesn't say anything about liking singing in this verse. It says that God wants to build up others through you. And if you surrender yourself and say, God, do what you want in my life, and you're filled with the Spirit, he will bless them through you, and you'll be singing. So I'm not saying that everyone who sings is filled with the Spirit, but I am saying if you are filled with the Spirit, turned over to his control, and it's time to sing, then that's what you're going to do, because it's the opportunity to build up the people around you. Not everyone who sings is filled with the Spirit, but I think everyone who's filled with the Spirit, based on this, when it's time to sing, will sing. Because God will use this in a spiritual way to build up the people around you. Speak to one another. This is a totally different way of thinking about singing. It's not about our favorite songs or our favorite style or whatever makes me happy. You actually have a purpose, and your purpose is everyone else around you. Does this happen to you? How many have gone to student life before? Student life camp? Okay, a bunch of you. Would you agree that it's very impactful to you and encouraging to you to see everyone participate in the singing and worship there? Put up your hand if you agree with that. Okay, so imagine you're there at student life camp, or imagine you're here on a Sunday morning, and you're like, okay, I'm going to participate. And you stand up and you start singing along, and let's say the band's doing a really great job. And you look around, and 100% of the people around you are seated with their arms folded with a grumpy look on their face. And that's, you know, like, welcome to student life camp. And everyone's just like, you know, just kind of looking at you. And you're the only one singing. Okay, you could still have a valuable time there, but it'd be weird, wouldn't it? It wouldn't build you up in the same way. Just their participating builds you up, right? And so what they're doing is something that's impacting you. It's building you up. Same thing here. This is the truth. I'm built up in my faith every single Sunday as I gather together with my church family and we sing together. That is a time when everyone who's participating is building me up in some way. And every single week, I'm encouraged in my faith by that. I mean, imagine if they weren't. Imagine if on a Sunday morning, if every single person just was kind of scowling at me with an angry look on their face, you know, or was sleeping or had their arms folded and just like, I'm not doing this, I don't like singing. It wouldn't build me up as much. I could still participate, but it's not the same. God has a purpose to build us up. Be filled with the Spirit. All right, so this next verse gives you the flip side of this. It's not just about building up the people around you, but it also is for God. It says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So singing in a gathered worship time is for the people around you, but it is also for God. God has a purpose of bringing to himself the thanks and the praise that he's worthy of. And he wants to do it through you. I mean, that's a privilege. You know, he's all the time in heaven with the sound of this incredible worship around him all the time. But do you know that he wants you to be a part of that? He wants your songs to be part of what's, he wants your thanksgiving, your being thankful to him, your worship of him, your heart kind of saying, God, I love you and I think you're valuable. Like, I'm submitted to you. Worship coming from your heart, he wants to be part of what he's getting all the time. That's really our privilege. It is for the people around us, and it's also for God at the same time. This is in the same sentence. You know, we're singing to each other, to one another, but we're also singing to God. And both are happening all the time. Who's missing in this? Me. Like, selfishness isn't in here, right? It doesn't say, you know, sing your favorite songs because you just love, you know, electric guitar solos or you love polka music or whatever. It's not about preferences or styles. It's not in there. And sometimes people, that's all they make worship about is like, well, we think you need to sing this kind of song in church. Who cares? What matters is, are we blessing one another and are we blessing the Lord? Those are the two points of focus when we worship. And then the last part of this verse, and this next slide ties it all together, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we're doing this, we're addressing one another, we're blessing the people around us, we're blessing the heart of God by expressing our worship to him, and he wants us to do that. God fills us with his Spirit, with himself, so that he can worship himself through you. I said that right, it sounds weird, but God fills you with himself so that he can worship himself through you. It's not inappropriate for God to sing his own praise, because he's right. You know, if God says, I'm the greatest in the universe, he's the only one that's not arrogant, because it's true. He is the greatest in the universe. He declares his own praise through you by putting his Spirit in you and then declaring his praise through you. All this is going on when we sing together. So again, this blows up the idea of a private worship time. I hope that you value private worship time. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with a private worship time, please. But that can't be all that there is. Gathered worship time is the only place that this can happen. How can you submit to one another if you're never together? How can you love one another if you're never together? We gather every week to do this here at TNT, on Sundays with our church. We can't address one another through song if we're not together. So somebody might say, well, I don't really need church. I just kind of do my own private worship thing. Well, it's all great, but you're totally disobeying this and other passages. It's disobedience to say, well, it's just about me, actually. I have my private worship time, and that's all that I need. But it's not. It's not just for you. It's for one another. Bless the people around you. Bless the Lord as he fills you with his with himself to do that. All right, how am I doing on time? Are we about here? About good? I have a little, okay, I got a couple. I'll just reference this next part. On this note, on gathering together, I just do want to say to each of you guys, we love you guys, each of you, and it's great to see you grow up and become adults, you know, you're young adults now, becoming older adults later. I'll tell you one of the biggest things that that I feel, and I know each of the leaders feel, is we want to see you as adults thriving in your own local church. Whether that's here or a different church, doesn't matter. But you can't do all of the one another's of the Bible by yourself. The New Testament says, submit to one another, love one another, care for one another, show compassion for one another. Here, honor Christ, show reverence for Christ by submitting to one another. All of this has to be, you can't do any of that if you're not together. So this is why we gather, that we can minister to each other. This other passage, Colossians 3, you can go ahead to that one, Sue. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Just look at this one. It's very similar to the other passage. So different context, this is written to another group of Christians, another church in a place called Colossae. And but this message to them is very similar. See, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing who? One another, right? So he's calling them to teach and admonish each other. It's not just for yourself. You're supposed to teach and admonish one another, but how do you do it? In all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Songs are a great teaching tool. You know, how many of you have that dumb little commercial jingle in your head that you can't get out of your head, right? What's your favorite? 1-800, what's that one? 1-800, safe auto, yeah, that's a good one. But music is a great teaching tool. If you have a scripture song, you're singing things about God, it helps you remember. So we're teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we sing because of the people around us. And again, you can't do that if you're all by yourself. But it's also with thankfulness to God. So it is for the people around you, and it's also for God getting what he deserves. You know, in everything, no matter what you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it's very similar. There's this two-parted focus of we sing because we're submitted to God and blessing the people around us, other believers, encouraging them, but we're also doing it because God deserves it. And sometimes we think of only the second part and we forget the first part. It's not just for God. It's also for the people around you. And once again, it doesn't say anything about doing my favorite song, right? Like sometimes you'll have a song come up and you'll be like, yes, I love this. There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But remember, that's not the focus. The focus is, can I encourage and bless the people around me? And can I bless God's heart by telling him that I'm thankful and that I love him? So here are your takeaways for a gathered singing time. Whether that's here at TNT, whether it's some of what we're going to do here tonight. I would love it if you guys would think about these two things. Let's go to that next slide. These two things all the time. Am I yielding to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Again, the Holy Spirit's not a superpower. It's God. It's a person. He's a person. Am I yielding to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that God uses me to encourage everyone around me? So when you walked in here tonight and you saw each other in the hall, did you think to yourself, they're part of my mission today? They're part of the mission that God gave me today, is to encourage them somehow. And you don't know how. Maybe it'll just be just by being nice to them, just saying hello. Maybe it'll be through a time when we sing that they'll look over and they'll see you singing and you won't even know they're looking at you. But they'll be like, oh, that's encouraging. You know, I see them singing. And maybe they'll listen to the lyrics of the song and it'll encourage them and build them up. So are we submitting to God to let us build up the people around us? That's our mission. And the second part of that mission for tonight, am I yielding to be filled with the Spirit so I can give God the worship and the thanks that he deserves? You know, you guys are being so attentive, and I really appreciate it. If you were being kind of rude right now and, like, talking to each other and taking a nap, I'd be a little bit hurt. You know, I'd be a little annoyed, but I'd get over it. It'd be fine. But some of you may know about me. If it's a time of worship or prayer, that does tend to raise the level for me. You know, like if somebody's like really being distracting to the people around them at a time when it's supposed to be singing to God or praying, I get much more uptight about that. And here's why. Sometimes what I'll say to them is I'll ask a student, and I haven't said this to any of you in a long time. I'll say, do you realize that you're taking a time that is meant to be giving all of our attention to God? And you are stepping in and saying, no, don't pay attention to God and give him what he deserves. Give it to me instead. Is that really what you want to do? You know, like, do you really want to distract people at a time when they're supposed to be giving attention to God and say, don't pay attention to God, pay attention to me, because I've got a funny joke to tell you. Like, I don't want to be in your shoes. That gives me a little bit of fear there. You know, I think this atmosphere that we have here in TNT, I really appreciate you guys, you know, being respectful of that. Just think about how can I serve others? How can I bless them? How can I honor God? And these two things are going on all the time when it's time to sing. And as we do, God works in us, and the church builds up the church, builds up the church. And by the church, I mean God's people. Right? God's people, build up God's people. So it's an important mission. So thanks for being a part of it. And every single one of us is a part of that. Sometimes I say, when somebody says, thanks for the singing on Sunday, I'll say to them, well, thank you for participating, because no matter where you stand in the room, you guys know what I'm going to say, John, you know? No matter where you stand in the room, you're always on the worship team. Right? See, anywhere, all of you are on the worship team. It's not the people on the stage. They're not the worship team. All of us are on the worship team. We're all participating to bless God at the same time. And we're here to serve each other and serve the Lord, and the church will build up the church. That's what I got. Abby, I'll turn it over to you. Or Pastor Nick.